Dr. Alcador is a Sudanese refugee who fled the country when she was 8 after witnessing the murder of her family. Dr. Dor has spoken to students across the country, and actually she spoke last year at Dalhousie in April, and inspiring them to take action through telling her story. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Alcador to hear her story.
Good evening. You know, as an African woman, and I'm a mother, I consider myself as a mother of all kids here. So usually I call you kids. And people in my age, I will call sisters and brothers. So I don't say, ladies and gentlemen, that is not African. African is my kids, my sisters and brothers. You know, tell you the truth, I'm very thankful to be here. And you remind me of my time when I was a young girl in university. So I thank you for what you are doing to others. And this is how SHOUT will help others. Just to tell the story so it will not happen again. And we make never again as not a word, but indeed. Another thing I want to tell you before my story is, I got lost today. And I'm used to get lost. And they say, since you can get lost in Sudan and you end up in Canada, you will find your way. So we were walking with this student. And they disappeared because they were walking quick. And I was looking all over the university, I can't find them, where are they? So I said, I will go to student union and look, and I found them. So at last I found my way. I'm going to tell you about what happened to me. I'm saying this because it's not that it is a good story to tell. It's just, I'm saying it so somebody will say one day, never again this problem will not happen again. Because I'm from Sudan, from South Sudan. And I'm an activist against any torture or genocide anywhere elsewhere. And my son used to call me, he called me now a mother of the world, because this is how I feel. I feel I'm a part of the world, I'm a citizen of the world, not only Sudanese, but I feel like I'm a citizen of the world. And since God kept me up to here, I never thought I would be in Canada one day. I thought maybe I could come to Canada for a conference, but to stay in Canada, I never thought of it. God has a purpose for everything. This is a story. When I was 7 years old when my father was killed. We were sleeping and then we wake up by the army, they surrounded our house. And when they surrounded the house, we wake up, all of them, my dad, my mother, my sisters, all of us, we were out. And we were screaming, I was crying, my other siblings were crying. And then the soldier took my father. And they hold his hand on his back. They tied, the other one came and he cut his ear. He was bleeding, but I don't know how he did it, my dad. He never screamed, never cried. And I think that one of the things which haunted me up to today, with that pain, just a slight needle on your hand, I will scream. But with him, he never. And you know why? Because African, I don't know whether it is a good thing. For me, it's a horrible thing. Because When you have pain, you scream. They say, men, they don't cry. And especially when they are in front of their kids. And he never said it. He never said it. The worst thing to happen to us was, I have an older sister. And she was raped in front of us. 7 years old kid to see all these horrible things. And I think it was the first thing my dad didn't want to see. But he saw it. And I think it was so painful, better for him to die. Then they started to stab him here and there. The last word my dad told my mom is, please don't take her out from school. Keep her in school. Because in Sudan, I was the first lady to go to university in my city. Because just my dad said that. And because my mom kept me in school. This was the last word he said. And they stabbed him on his stomach, or they tortured him. It was horrible. I can't even imagine. I try to forget, but it's too much. I can't. So they killed him. He died. The worst thing too, they didn't allow us to take the body. Because they say we want to let people know, see how human being like him could be kept and left for birds to eat him. So my dad was not buried. We will see the birds coming and eating his body. This was the first war. 1968. You know what? I start to be very, very emotional. Sudanese soldiers, they wear green. And I hate green. I hate green up to now. When I see anyone wearing green, I start to be panic attack. I scream, it reminds me of soldiers. I don't even care whether they are Arabs or South Sudan, any soldier. And it took me a long time. I went to school, and in school you have to learn Arabic by force. You have to learn Arabic. I learned Arabic. And I was, thank God, I was very good in school. But I had problems with Arabic. I perfected the language with what happened to my dad. And because I want to go ahead, if you fail Arabic, you will not go to university. So you have to pass Arabic. I will read Arabic to extend that. I just want to pass. And even when I'm doing exams, if I feel I just want to pass it, I just walk out. I don't finish the exams. You know, one night, and I have that hatred. I hate anything called Arabic. I start to hate Arabs. I hate so many things. Maybe I hate myself too. One night, I dream of my dad. And he was telling me that, Achon, do you know who killed me? And I told him, no, I don't. And I told him, I wish I knew who killed you. He said, that is the word, you don't know who killed me. How will you hit everyone if you don't know who killed me? He told me, forgive. I wake up in the morning, and I talked to my mom. I said, Mom, I dream of dad. She told me, this is not new because you, when I'm angry, I drip. My dad was the love of my life. I don't love my mom the way I love my dad. You usually dream of your because my dad told me this. So she said, okay, maybe try to read your Bible, go to the church. I start reading my Bible. I went to the church. It took me maybe a year doing that. For the first time, I felt peace within myself. And I was happy because I realized I don't even know who killed my dad. And if I don't know, should I hit everyone? That time, I forgive. You know, the people of Darfur, I'm talking on their behalf. They were part of Sudanese government too, that time. Sudanese government used them, because they were soldiers, to kill South Sudanese. Okay. And today, I feel like even the North Sudanese, which are Arabs, I don't feel hatred towards them. I don't hate them. Thank God. Because I think hatred is a disease. I'm relieved. I'm happy. And I feel peace within myself. This was the first war. The second war, it happened when I was a medical doctor already. One evening, I was at the clinic. Patient came. He was wounded. So, as a medical doctor, I have to treat him. I don't ask, are you a rebel? No, that is not my business. My business is to treat a patient. Soldiers came, and they asked me to give them that patient. I said, no. This is my patient, I'm not going to give you that patient. And I was ready to stay, not to allow that patient to be taken by the army because I know they will kill him. So they said, I pushed them away from the clinic and I said, you have to get out from my clinic. So they left. But one of them came back and he told me, Achol, you are putting yourself in danger. They will come back, so you have to leave. So I said, okay. What happened is, after he left, I called the family of that patient to take the patient from the back door. They took the patient, and I have to leave to where I don't know where to go, okay? I can't go home because they will be waiting for me there. So I start walking from Wau, which is South Sudan, to Kenya. I never walked in my whole life this distance I was walking today. To walk thousands and thousands of miles to go to Kenya. Don't know the way. I don't know people. You walk, there is no shoes, huh? You walk just without shoes. But the good thing with Sudanese is, I just follow the small road. There was a village. You knock at any village, anyone there, dog, they will take you. They fed me, they gave me clothes, gave me water, anything they have. And they will take me from village to village. The other village will accommodate me, and then I walked like that till I came to Kenya. And I stayed in the borders at the camp. I worked there as a volunteer doctor for a year. My husband that time was in Greece studying medicine too. So I went to Greece as a refugee. But you know what? Life of refugee is not an easy life. There is nowhere on earth which accept refugees except Canada, America. And thank God for Canada. Okay. So I went to Greece. I stayed in Greece for a while. I learned the language. And one time, I went to immigration to renew my permit, and I was captured, put in the jail, and they wanted to deport me back because I'm a refugee. So I said, I have a son, and my son that time was very young, he was 1 year then. I said, I have a kid. How will you do that? So I phoned the United Nations, a refugee, and then they took me out and they say, okay, you have to leave Greece. In spite of that, my husband is there and he has a permit. Anyhow, I left Greece to come to Canada. And I came to Canada, thank God. But you know what? That's why sometimes you say, you don't know what follow you. I came to Canada. I realized I can practice medicine. And it was so painful. But it didn't stop me. I work anything. I work in the factory. I did everything. Okay. I had a car accident. Okay. I stay in bed for nearly a year. I can't walk. I'm walking now. After all these things, my husband passed away. To see a history of somebody, I was somebody one time. And then finish medicine, be happy to be a medical doctor, okay? Maybe take care of other people, because I never did. In Africa, you have to take care of your parents. And I didn't do that. It's something I feel guilty about it up to now. Okay. I never helped my mom. I never helped my dad. But I hope that's why I volunteer every year. I go to Africa on volunteer because I feel like I have to give something to them. And when my husband passed away, my life, really, it looked like it finished, collapsed. I was angry at God because I said, God, I accept to be poor. I lost everything. Why are you doing this to me? Just to take my husband to finish everything I have. But you never know what, with all these difficulties, why God is allowing these things to happen. And I think for me, I start to know why these things happen to me. It's to be a witness of all these things. And not allowing other people to change you, to make you a person you don't want to be. I never loved myself when I was that angry person. I never loved myself. But to tell you the truth today, I love myself because I never stop smiling. And people, they say, one time one lady was saying, she hear what I'm talking about. And she said, you know, John, I never thought you have this problem. Because every time we see you in the church, you are smiling, happy, okay? And I told her, you are lucky you saw me now. But years ago, you will never even greet me. You know what? Thank you, kids. God bless you, okay? Spread the word. Stop genocide anywhere, okay? And start loving each other. Thank you.